The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Man, your host has really stepped in it, ladies and gentlemen, and I didn't see this one coming. The Christian Post did a nasty little hit job on yours truly, and it's over something I said over the weekend in the aftermath of the attempted assassination of Donald J. Trump. And so anyway, I've been really frustrated by all of these woke churches out there that have disengaged from the culture fight. And you've got all these preachers now, and many of them are like millennials, and they think it's there's something ungodly about churches being involved in the culture. Let me say this, and a bit of education for our younger listeners here. Had it not been for the churches, you would not have a country right now. Because in the early days, as we were fighting the British, it was the churches and the good Christian people of the colonies who rose up and fought for freedom. As a matter of fact, and this is all very well documented in several books I've written, it is the pastors at the time were actually preaching about political issues, cultural issues from their pulpits. But now we've got a new crop, a new breed of preacher in America, and they believe those things are just, that's unchristian for us to do. They call it Christian nationalism. So anyway, I don't want to get into a bit. This is, I've got to share some things with you here. I have a bee in the bonnet today. It's a big bee, not a big bonnet. So I'm getting stung all over the place. So anyway, this Yahoo over at Christian Post, this writer, didn't even bother to have the decency to email or ask if I wanted to be interviewed or respond, because all these preachers are now raging. Apparently, this has gone viral, tens of thousands, and they're saying thousands of pastors around America are enraged at Todd Starnes because I said the following, that if you're a pastor was not addressing the attempted assassination of Donald J. Trump in the morning worship service, then you need to get up, walk out, and find yourself another church to go to. That's what I said. That's what's caused this massive raging controversy out there. And look, I don't mean to trigger all these woke preachers out there. Oh, I think I may have called them limp-wristed woke evangelicals. That may have set some people off, too. Come to think of it. Anyway, I don't apologize for anything. I stand by every single word I said. And I'll say it again, that if your pastor is not talking about the cultural issues of the day, and let me say this. Many of the preachers who are not talking about Donald Trump, they're the same preachers that are out there talking about George Floyd and all these other things happening. So they're basically closet Democrats. Well, Todd, are you saying that Democrats aren't Christians? I'll save that answer for another. No, I'm going to answer that question for you. Look, only God can judge a person's heart. I don't get it. I mean, if you support killing a baby as it's coming out of the womb, how do you square that with your Christian faith? I don't get that at all. Anyway, so all the Christians are upset at me now. The RNC is upset with me, and this is great. I want to explain why the RNC is upset. And they're bothered because I pointed out that there were some massive changes to the party platform. And these changes, and if you watch last night, did any of you watch last night's RNC? Look, I thought overall it was a great opening night. I loved a lot of the speeches. I wasn't quite sure why the union boss was there lecturing all of us. I didn't get that, but you know what? It's okay. On the whole, I thought it was a great night, and I'll talk about the incredible stuff that President Trump did last. I thought it was a great first night. But I will say this. There are some things happening within the party that are troublesome. And the theme last night, it was supposed to be Make America Wealthy Again. But in reality, it was Make the Republican Party Inclusive and Diverse. That's what it was all about. So I've just been pointing this out. And there are a lot of people that are very concerned about this. And they say, well, and I'll explain why. They removed the pro-life language out of the party platform. All right, we've been over that. That's fine. But there was more to it, and I didn't even jump into this. Right? I just took a pass and said, you know what? We'll let them all work it out. But there was a lot more they took out. And some of it is incredibly disturbing. Incredibly disturbing. So anyway, the head of the Log Cabin Republicans, and this guy was on our show, what was it, last week, and he's very excited about something that has happened. And I'm going to read this to you, and I'm catching H-E double hockey sticks over this. And here's what I did. Here's what I wrote, all right? This is from the head of the largest LGBT Republican group, praising massive changes made to the party platform, specifically language that defined marriage as between one man and one woman. So the party platform, the Republicans believe that marriage should be reserved for a man and a woman. So that language is gone now. They removed that. And they did it so fast that Christians were not able to respond, at least the pro-traditional marriage Christians. And here's what Charles Moran wrote, and I just shared his quote. He said, gay Republicans have been working for decades to help build a more inclusive GOP and update the platform's outdated and out of step language opposing marriage equality, an issue that the vast majority of the country and a majority of Republican voters support. Today, that hard work has finally come to fruition. This platform sends a powerful message to LGBT conservatives across the country that we are not only welcome in the Republican Party, but a part of the movement to make America great again. They say, he called the language about marriage being between one man and one woman cynical. And he said that the time now has come to stop rehashing old debates of the past. He says, we applaud President Trump for his visionary, inclusive, and consistent leadership. Now, look, here's the deal, and I want to explain this to you. The fact that I shared this, how dare you? How dare you? You're inciting. You're just telling people not to vote Republican. Really? No, I'm just letting you know what's happening in the party here, folks. So my question is, and when you look at it as a whole, it's very clear they're shoving Christians to the back of the Republican Party bus. That's what's going on here. My question is, and again, this is an important question, are Republicans going to be thrown off the bus, or are the Christians going to be thrown off the bus, or will the Christians simply walk out on their own? And Jenna Ellis has been writing about this. So has Matt Walsh. I know many of you folks are big fans of Matt Walsh, and he had some things to say about this. Now, there was another thing that happened yesterday. Well, a couple of things happened. So Amber Rose was giving a speech, and I have to tell you, I thought what she said was good. Matt Walsh is very concerned. She gave a fine speech. All right. I don't think there was anything weird about the speech. She did say that the RNC was all about love or something. I don't know. Anyway, here's what Walsh had to say. The RNC gave a primetime speaking slot to a pro-abortion feminist and self-proclaimed S-word with a face tattoo, whose only claim to fame is having sex with rappers. Truly an embarrassment. Not a single voter will be mobilized by this person. But again, party leaders believe we have to have diversity, and this is the diversity. We have to show that we are inclusive. Now, Brandon Tatum said Matt Walsh is out of touch. She killed it with the speech, and she did. It was a great speech. I got no problem with the speech. The other issue that people were upset because our friend Harmeet Dhillon gave a prayer, and this is what people are really raging about this morning. I shared the prayer. How dare you? Who do you think you are sharing a prayer? Who do you think you are sharing what actually happened at the RNC? I offer no commentary. I just said simply, last night Republicans bowed their heads and prayed to the one true God, a Sikh God named Wahyu Guru. That's all I shared, and people are raging over this. So my question is, are you supporting this more inclusive, diverse Republican Party? And we're going to get calls today, and I've got the messages accusing me of trying of being a Democrat and being anti. How dare you be pro-life, you Democrat? Wait, what? What? You just think everybody ought to pray in the name of Jesus. Well, the country was founded. I'm just saying, we need to figure out what this big tent looks like here. So I've already been told by several within Republican leadership that I'm on dangerous ground. I don't know what that means, because we don't work off anybody's talking points. And if that means a senator won't come on the program or whatever, okay, I'm good with that. But I'm not going to back down from my beliefs. And I do believe that one of the reasons why the Republican Party has been successful is that the Christian conservative base of the party has been so strong and so powerful. Now they're not. They're literally being shoved out. I'm being told that some of our top evangelical friends, religious leaders, their phone calls are no longer being returned at RNC headquarters. So there we go. All that to say, and you know, I really don't care. I really don't. If you're mad, be mad. I don't care. This is what I believe. And if you've got a problem with it, well, that's on you, because I feel pretty good. I slept pretty well last night. Now, do I have a problem with the fact that Amber Rose spoke? I'm going to tell you something. I didn't understand, and I didn't get it. Why were we platforming somebody like Amber Rose? Then I heard her speak last night, and I'm like, I understand. And I think it's great that she has just recently converted to the Republican way of life. And I don't know, will she attract people to the party? I don't know. But I'm wondering, were there other people out there who are lifelong Republicans who are maybe Black or Hispanic or Asian American, Pacific Rim? What about those folks? As a matter of fact, last night we had a lady who spoke, and she did a terrific job, but she actually confessed to the crowd that in 2020 she voted for Joe Biden. Wait, what? That was just before the, or was that before or after the union guy? So anyway, I thought it was a great night in spite of all of that. But the Republican leadership and those in power in the Republican Party are basically telling Christians, shut up and you do what we tell you to do. Don't complain about it. Don't say anything about it. If you do, there will be hell to pay. That's what they're telling people. And it's a little off-putting, but I tell you this, we're not going to be quiet. Yeah, I can't do that. I just can't do it. I'm going to speak my mind on these things. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Real quick, let's go to Cliff in North Carolina. Hey, Cliff, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, it's good to talk to you today, and I cannot agree with you more. I pastor a church. I've met you in Statesville, and I mentioned the situation with Trump, the assassination attempt in my sermon, or before my sermon, actually, Sunday. Didn't get any pushback or anything else. Everybody was in agreement. But I do have a word of warning for the Republican National Committee. If you keep on, I know people that won't vote Democrat, and they're going to stay home and not vote for Trump. So are they just, what do they think that we will do? Is just remain silent? Well, maybe a lot will. Do they think we don't have a choice? I'm just amazed. I'm like what you said. I just, wow. I don't have words.
I just don't get it. I really don't. And I'm not, you know, but their thinking is, and I know this is how these people think, that the Christians will do what we tell them to do. They're starstruck, and the Christians have nowhere else to go. And so it doesn't matter how badly we treat them. They're going to look, in a way, it's like the Democrat Party and minority voters. It's the same thing. That it's that same mindset. But I am very concerned here that they are playing with fire.
Of course. Of course. And I am too. I'm pretty sure I know people that if this keeps up, it'll be like, okay, we're done. The same way in the Southern Baptist Convention, North Carolina had sent out letters several months ago that they would revoke our 501(c)(3) status as churches if we didn't play their game. I'm like, that's just a lie. They can't do anything with our tax exempt status.
Right.
But yet it's to push us into their mold and make us support things that fundamental conservative Bible believing people say, nope, we're not going to do that.
Cliff, hate to do it. We got to cut you out there, my friend. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, we've got some breaking news about the Secret Service. We're going to get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to work in a quick phone call. Kim from North Carolina. Kim, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to do it.
I just heard you talking about the Christians will feel compelled not to vote. Well, the problem is I am a very strong Christian. But if you look at Georgia, when Georgia did not vote for Purdue, you see what happened with the country.
Oh, yeah.
Christians need to vote. They need to demand their seat at the table, and they need to make sure their voices are as loud as the opponent's voices.
Kim, I guess...
That's the only way you're going to be recognized. And if you say, oh, I don't like what's going on, and you sit at home, then nobody's going to care what your opinion is. You've got to be active, you've got to vote, and you've got to let people know what you think.
So what are we voting for on Election Day? What's the issue for you?
The issue for me is somebody who supports Christian values through some of the people that Trump put in the justice offices and through some of the policies he put in to protect Christians and the things he did for the Jewish nation. And so you've got to look at the bigger picture. But the problem is, if you don't have enough votes, you don't win. So the Republicans have got to draw in enough people to win the election. So I don't think that the Republican Party is that alternative back on the Christians. I think what they're trying to do is broaden the base enough to win. If more Christians would get off their butt and vote, then the Republicans could be more Christian-oriented, but you've got to win the election. Georgia proved that when the people sat home and didn't go vote. You have got to vote if you want to make any impact in keeping the country a Judeo-Christian nation.
All right, Kim, got to run, got to leave it there. Good call. And look, it's a good thought. You know, the RNC may have been looking at the voter roll saying, you know what, these Christians are not going out to vote, so they don't matter to us as much anymore. I'm not saying they don't matter, but they don't matter as much. if the gays are getting out there and they're voting 100% in favor of Republicans, well, there you go. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, new polling data out. President Trump now leading Biden in seven swing states. And as CNN was talking last night, they say that this is really all about Donald Trump now, that it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for Joe Biden to overcome the Trump momentum, the Big Mo, as they call it. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to a good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to visit with you. There's going to be a speaker tonight at the RNC that I'll probably stay up late to watch. It's this current governor of Arkansas that I hear a lot about, and I'm going to check her out and see if she's any good.
I've heard that she's pretty decent, pretty good, in spite of her background. But
yeah, tough parentage, came up in a rough environment, I'm sure. But we'll see that she's overcome it. She's maybe a lot like J.D. Vance, had a lot to overcome, but did it and proved that one can come from tough circumstances and still make it.
I love it. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, ladies and gentlemen, one of the speakers tonight in primetime, and you can watch all of that live on Newsmax. Governor, I'm curious, what do you think about J.D. Vance? Was that a good pick for Trump?
You know, I think whoever he picked would have been good because he picked someone that he's comfortable with. J.D.'s great. He's one of the most articulate people we have in the party. He can handle himself under any circumstance. That's going to be one of the most important things that he's going to do between now and election, is to be able to go, whether it's on CNN or MSNBC, if they will have him, and for him to articulate the vision of the Republican Party and contrast it with the policies of Joe Biden that we've had to live with for 4 years. And nothing rattles him. He's brilliant. And his personal story is one that is so very inspiring. It's one of the things that I love most about him is that he has lived the American dream. He embodies it. Nobody can say, well, yeah, but, you know, he's just grown up wealthy. He wouldn't understand working people. Boy, does he ever understand it. A drug-addicted mother. He was raised by his grandparents. He lived in abject poverty in the Appalachians, and his grandmother used to have to beg the people from the Meal on Wheels to leave a little extra food so J.D. and his sister would have something to eat. And then he went on to the Marine Corps, served in Iraq, Ohio State University, summa cum laude, Yale Law School. I'd say the kids turned out pretty good.
It's an amazing story, and I think a lot of people are looking forward to the debates between him and Kamala Harris. If in fact that happens, but can you imagine?
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, that will be one for the ages. It'll be like Popeye on two cans of spinach going against Wimpy.
What do you think about President Trump's entrance last night? You know, it just seemed to me he looked like he was a little emotional coming in there with that triumphant entry into the arena last night.
It was exactly what I observed. I haven't seen him like that. His countenance was one of such seriousness, and he wasn't his usual, just coming in fist pumping and I really thought that he was emotional as he sensed not only the adoration of the crowd, and maybe that's not the right word. I would say the gratitude of a crowd who was so thrilled that God had protected him. And I just have to believe, Todd, that he is overwhelmed with that sense that he was spared for a purpose. And I just saw that in his face. Maybe I'm reading into it, but I'm like you. When I saw him walk in, it looked like at times he was almost in tears, as if he was overwhelmed with the emotion of realizing what a big deal it was that he was able to walk in there and then to sense the affirmation of a party that has rallied around him. And I heard somebody, I think it was maybe on CNN, and they were talking about how, well, let's hope he can bring the party together. And maybe, they were just suggesting giving Nikki Haley a big role. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you don't understand. You don't get it. He has brought the party together.
Yeah.
We don't have to have somebody to go get the strays. Oh, there's a few, the Never Trumpers, the Rick Wilsons of the world, that idiot for Lincoln Project who suggested that somebody ought to put a bullet in Donald Trump. I hope he's ashamed of himself. And you've got people like Bill Kristol, who never saw a war he didn't like, except a war that would have involved him, which he never participated in. But beyond those kind of people, and they're so few in number that who cares? Donald Trump not only has brought the party together, Donald Trump has brought people to the party that's never been there. I mean, when I listened to Amber Rose last night, and when I first heard she was going to speak, I said, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah, same here.
But she gave one of the most eloquent and wonderful speeches that I've heard of the political convention. And then when the president of the Teamsters, who's never been invited in 120 years of Republican conventions, spoke, the very idea that he was able to go and speak with such candor, such clarity, I realized that what has happened, and I don't think a lot of people in the media have fully embraced this or understood it, the Republican Party is now absolutely the party of working class people in this country.
Is it possible? I mean, when I was watching last night, I'm seeing a populist party more so than a Republican Party last night.
And I love it. I mean, you know, I got accused of being a populist in 2008, and even during my tenure as governor, which was true. I never ran from that. I was never ashamed of it because that's how I grew up. You know, I didn't grow up wealthy. I never had darkened the door of a country club until my 10th high school reunion. I'd never been in one ever in my whole life. I told people, you know, when I grew up, we didn't go out to eat. I had to learn how to eat in a restaurant. I know that sounds silly to some people, but we never did it. Going to banquets and being a keynote speaker, I said, man, I have a whole lot more in common with the people working in the kitchen than I did the folks sitting at the head table. I knew how to work in the kitchen. I didn't know how to sit at the head table. I had to learn all that. And I'm thrilled to see that our party has reached out, and it's now the party of people that have long been forgotten and shoved aside and disrespected, the people who really do make America work, the firemen, the police officers, the teachers, the trash collectors, the carpenters, the brick masons, the plumbers, the electricians, the technicians who fix our air conditioning on a hot summer day. This is what makes America thrive. It's what makes America work. And to see the Republicans not just saying, yeah, we'll give you a spot off in the corner, but no, we'll put you up front and center because we value you. We value what you do. I'm proud of a party that has done that.
Governor, again, this goes back to Ronald Reagan's big tent party. At the same time, we still have to make sure we keep everybody in the tent, including that base of the party that got Reagan elected, the evangelical voters. And you and I both know many of these leaders are pretty upset, pretty hot over the party platform. They're concerned that, that the party is maybe taking a more centrist or left turn on the culture issues. Is that a concern?
Well, it always will be for me because those issues are non-negotiable for me. I told Donald Trump this on many occasions. There's two non-negotiable issues for most evangelicals. One is the sanctity of life, and the other is Israel. And those are still critically important to me. But on the other hand, I don't think we're taking a left turn. I think we're taking maybe a turn that says that abortion now is going to be decided by the states. That's what the Roe v. Wade Dobbs decision did. And, you know, it's not going to be a federal issue because we wouldn't get 60 votes in the Senate if we tried. So we're going to do the best we can, but we need to do it at the state and local level. I still would love to see us embrace the idea of personhood, because personhood, if fully understood and adopted, would eliminate abortion, because under the 14th Amendment and the Fifth Amendment, for that matter, once you declare that an unborn child is a person, you can't deprive a person of his or her life. And that's really where we need to begin to move the country morally and intellectually and constitutionally.
Governor, before we let you go, one of my favorite moments, and Trump actually laughed when this happened. There's a pastor giving a benediction, and here's how that went. Cut 18.
And if I may, before the benediction, give you this promise. You're going to be so blessed. You're going to be tired of being blessed. I guarantee it. Believe me.
I think the funny thing was the guy was a Lutheran. I didn't know they had that sense of humor.
He must have been out of his normal parish, because you're right. Typically, Lutherans aren't exactly given to guffawing.
No.
But it was a great line. And, you know, I'm so glad that people who think the Republicans are a bunch of stuffed shirts can understand not only do we like things that are funny, but if they got to know Donald Trump, they would realize he has a fantastic sense of humor. He's an incredibly funny man. It's one of the reasons people go to his rallies, because they love his sense of humor, and the media gets all their pants in a wad over it. But the truth is, a lot of the stuff that he's saying for sport, and he's having a good time with it. And if you're sitting there, you have a good time with him.
That's
I think it's going to be a great year. He's going to get reelected in a landslide. And I would hate to have to be Joe Biden's campaign managers juxtaposing my candidate, Joe Biden, barely shuffling off the stage with Donald Trump in that iconic picture of him with blood streaming down his face, his fist in the air behind him, a U.S. flag, and him saying, fight, fight, fight. It's the difference between resilience and the rest home.
Well said. All right, Governor, real quick, what's coming up on the show this weekend?
It's going to be fascinating. London Roberts, who is the mother of Hunter Biden's child that the Bidens don't want anything to do with, we're going to talk with her. She's got a book coming out about her life. She's from Arkansas, Batesville, and we're going to be talking with her. We also have Cuba Gooding Jr. and Kevin Sorbo on the show. It's going to be a terrific weekend show. Don't miss it.
And Governor, a shout out to the radio station I own, our great affiliate in Memphis, KWAM, the brand new meteorologist, Laura Huckabee.
You were very smart in getting her. She's just about the best. And I don't say that just because she's my cousin, although she probably doesn't want anyone to know that. She may want to keep that on the down low, because she's very proud of being Sarah's cousin, even though a little more distant by a generation. But I'm not sure she's proud to affiliate with me, but I'm always proud to affiliate with Laura.
No, she says great things about you, and her weather forecasting is spot on. So we're pretty happy over here on this side of the river.
Well, take good care of her. She will do you well.
We'll do. All right, Governor Mike Huckabee, everybody. Governor, appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to play this, and yes, we're getting to the Secret Service, so hang tight. And we're going to be talking with Congressman John Rose about that. But you've got to hear this guy. This is one of the best Trump impressions I think I have heard. This gentleman describing the events of what happened on Saturday, cut 19.
You can take my ears, but you cannot take my liberty. They want to cut off my ears like the Taliban, but what they don't know is my ears can grow back, like SpongeBob through budding, by the way. Hit me with your best shot, why don't you? Because if that's the best you got, you're a loser. You're such a loser, you missed so bigly. By the way, you had a big opportunity. You could have made my head blow up on TV, but you didn't do that, did you? Now my ear is going to grow back bigger and better. It will have better hearing. I will hear like an owl.
Well done. President Trump yesterday, what a moment. Watching him walk into the arena, watching Lee Greenwood singing that iconic song, God Bless the USA. I mean, it really was this incredibly special moment. And as a matter of fact, I think we have some of that, and we're going to play this going to break, cut number 7. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
To start again, just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars. Don't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up. He is here tonight to show his courage, his defiance against somebody who tried to kill him.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up, Congressman John Rose joins us. Also, we're going to be talking to some folks from the RNC. We're also going to be doing a deeper dive into the latest information coming out about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And I will say this, I don't know about you, maybe it was just me, but I felt this emotional and had this emotional reaction when Trump came out. And it looked to me like Trump was doing his best to keep it together. I think even the president was getting a little emotional. And you heard Governor Huckabee and I talking about that. And I think everybody in that room was emotional. I mean, the fact of the matter is we came very close to having a very different RNC gathering. So I say, God bless you, Donald Trump. He looked great. He looked like he was in great spirits. But again, what he's going through emotionally right now, the fact that he nearly lost his life, wow, that is something else. The latest from the Secret Service is very troubling. The Secret Service director has now admitted that the gunman was spotted 30 minutes before a police officer took photographs, sent it to the state police, and the state police then sent it to the Secret Service. Said, hey, there's a guy on the roof 30 minutes before the shooting, and nobody did anything. Now, the Secret Service director, Kimberly Cheadle, is telling ABC News that they knew all of this. She said it was unfortunate. She also said that they knew about the roof and they knew there was an issue with the roof. But she says, and I'm telling you, folks, this is from the ABC News interview. She said that the roof was sloped and therefore they felt it would be unsafe to put a Secret Service agent on the rooftop. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we are looking at here is a full breakdown of security. And the question is, and we're going to take your calls on this after the break, the question is, was this the result of gross incompetence, or do you believe that something more nefarious is happening? And Congressman Corey Mills, who, by the way, was a military sniper, says we need to investigate that. He's not saying that there was some sort of an inside hit job here, but he's saying we need to investigate to rule that out. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll get into that with Congressman Rose coming up next as well. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee, 58 delegates.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. My name is Jack Johnson. I have the honor of serving as the Republican Majority Leader in the Tennessee State Senate. On behalf of our delegation chairman, the Honorable Bill Lee, the 50th governor of the great state of Tennessee, I am happy to report that from the mighty Mississippi, Graceland and Bill Street, to the Grand Ole Opry, to the Great Smoky Mountains, Rocky Top and Dollywood, to Rock City and Lookout Mountain and Bristol Motor Speedway and all points in between, we proudly cast all 58 of our votes for the next President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
God bless America. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Of course, that was State Senator Jack Johnson, and he had the honor of announcing that Tennessee was casting their votes for Donald J. Trump. It was really great to see all that Tennessee orange out there, a lovely color this time of year. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to another great Tennessean, Congressman John Rose. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show. Doing great and proud to be here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin to support President Donald Trump for a second term in office.
Congressman, I know there are lots of meetings and gatherings going on. Were you able to be in the room last night when President Trump walked in?
I was, indeed. It was an electric moment. And, of course, they showed on the televisions in the screens in the center there. They showed him making his way down the hallway, and it really electrified the entire room.
And what about J.D. Vance? You know, a lot of people outside of the world of politics have probably not heard of J.D., but he is just really an accomplished young man, 39 years old. He would be he would not be the youngest vice president ever elected. That was the youngest was 36, but 39 years old. What's your impression of J.D. Vance?
Well, I think you've already said it, a very accomplished individual, a person who overcame great obstacles in his childhood and upbringing to pull himself up by his bootstraps, and a very intelligent person, a person, again, of great accomplishment. And I think really exemplifying the contrast between the Trump ticket and whoever the Democrats put up. Obviously, there may be someone new, so maybe a premature statement, but I think this represents the next generation of leaders in America, and I think that's what many Americans have been calling for. And so I salute President Trump for making a pick that will kind of turn the page, set the stage for the next generation of leadership in this country.
You know, Congressman, I want to move to what is developing into a very troubling story about the Secret Service and their actions on Saturday during and after the attempted assassination of President Trump. And the Secret Service director is now telling ABC News that they knew about 30 minutes before the shooting that there was a suspicious character up on that rooftop. We understand that photographs were taken by local police of the guy at the time. We also understand from the Secret Service director telling ABC News in a sit-down interview that the reason why that there was not a Secret Service agent on the roof is because it was sloped and might possibly be dangerous. What's your reaction when you hear these explanations?
Well, they're inexcusable, and I think hearing those types of explanations from the Secret Service director makes it difficult to have confidence in her, and in turn that makes it difficult to have confidence in the entire Secret Service organization. I'm sure they're very competent and capable Secret Service agents, so I don't want to condemn them all, but this is an inexcusable failure. And as those facts have come to light and additional facts, and I'm sure there will be other information that comes forward, obviously the Secret Service is charged with protecting the president, and whether they had delegated this particular assignment or were in charge of it themselves, it should have been taken care of. It was an obvious vulnerability. And, you know, I guess I would ask the question is, once you knew there was a potential shooter there, why not get the president off the stage? Why not get him down and out of the line of sight and give your officers time to take care of the threat? We've all seen that happen in previous instances. Why did they not do it here? I think it represents a failure with respect to planning for this event. And ultimately, the responsibility for that rises to the top and to the director.
Have you learned any more information about what happened on that day? Have they been sharing information with members of Congress?
If they have, it has not made it to those of us who are not leaders in the, you know, the various committees of jurisdiction. As of Sunday, my great sense was that they had not shared anything with us. And of course, I think the whole nation has noted the absence of visibility from the Secret Service in the hours after, and you know, only now are they beginning to come forward. And I think there needed to be some early involvement from Secret Service in answering the concerns that folks have. It is really inexcusable at this point in time that you would have such an obvious vulnerability left uncovered.
I want to be very careful with the way I frame this question, and you know, this is not a gotcha question at all, but Congressman Corey Mills on CNN said that it, you know, and again, he's a military sniper. He says that none of this makes any sense, and he does believe that there needs to be a congressional investigation. He says as a part of that investigation, we do need to find out if, in fact, that this may have been intentional, that it was not just incompetence, but there may have been something intentional going on. Do you believe that that should be a part of any investigation?
Well, I think that any investigation here should look at all of the possibilities. Until we know or have information that you know, excludes something, we should look at it. We've you know, over the last 4 years, we've seen too many attempts to shut off inquiry into lines of questioning that might be important in terms of getting to the truth, and I'm speaking specifically of the pandemic. We certainly don't need to do that here. We need to have clear and open eyes and look at all of the possibilities. Certainly, I think we would say all of us hope that there's not something like that involved here, but we don't need to rule anything out. We need to be clear-eyed about this and explore all the possibilities. Because the failure, at least at this point, seems so obvious and clear, you know, we can all imagine that it's difficult for Secret Service to guard the president, to guard a presidential candidate, because they have to get it right all the time, and the bad guys, the perpetrators of attempts like this, only have to get it right once. And so it's a difficult task, certainly we would all agree. But this seems like an obvious failure. I think anyone who, you know, even a person untrained in this sort of work would probably spot that particular vantage point and say that seems like a place that someone might go. And clearly a 20-year-old was able to recognize that. And so it seems obvious that the Secret Service should have had that. And you know, this may, I don't want to speculate, but I think we should look at all the possibilities, try to get to the bottom of what happened, and ultimately hold those who should have been making proper decisions accountable.
I want to read this. This is just being posted by Congressman Jim Banks. He says, I believe a select committee to investigate the attempted assassination of President Trump is a necessary next step. I do not believe that the FBI, which raided President Trump's home and has unfairly targeted his supporters, can be trusted to conduct the sole investigation into this attack on our democracy. Do you agree with the congressman?
I think that is a very strongly worded statement, but yes, I think we need to have trust from the American people in the investigation that happens here. And unfortunately, some of our national law enforcement agencies and organizations have tarnished their image with some of their inexplicable actions in the past, including the FBI. So I think we need to be sure that whoever is pursuing this is pursuing all of the angles. We all, for example, are aware that, you know, they held on to the Hunter Biden laptop, they being the FBI, for the better part of 2 years and did nothing with it. We've now seen it used as evidence in a criminal trial. And so clearly it was indeed the laptop of Hunter Biden. And yet the FBI held on to it as though it was not important and not relevant, and for a period of time that seems inexplicable and frankly has never been explained. And obviously it contained evidence of wrongdoing and illegal acts. And we know that the Justice Department let the statute of limitations expire on some of those illegal acts. And so there is great cause for concern about whether the officials that would be leading an investigation here will do so in a thorough and complete way and be forthright to the American people about what they find.
All right. Well, Congressman, appreciate your frankness on the conversation and the topic. Tonight going to be a lot of fun, starting at 6 o'clock Eastern. Governor Ron DeSantis, former Governor Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, among those who are going to be speaking. Ought to be a lot of fun tonight. The topic, Make America Safe Once Again. So there's going to be a significant emphasis on crime and the border. And of course, Congressman, those of us who live and have businesses in Memphis, Tennessee, we're going to be paying very close attention to that part of the conversation.
Well, absolutely. We have seen the law enforcement under this president and under Democratic leaders across the country diminish and not be supported in the way that it should be. And so I think this is an important topic, and one which I think Republicans have much to say and a much better track record to put on display. And so, you know, what an embarrassment of riches in terms of our bright leaders in the Republican Party. And I think you're going to see that on display all week, and with President Trump leading that group, but with so many capable, competent, Republicans who are ready to step up and take the mantle of leadership.
All right. Well, Congressman, we will leave it there. Have a good time tonight.
Thank you. It's a great honor and privilege to represent the people of Tennessee, and I appreciate you having me on the show today, Todd.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Congressman John Rose from Tennessee, and a good guy. We had a chance to get to know each other at the Shelby County Republican Lincoln Dinner, where Governor Kristi Noem spoke, and just had a lot of fun. All right. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So you're hearing these new developments, and I'm just curious, are you buying what the government is telling us about what happened on Saturday? Do you believe that that level of incompetence could have actually happened, or do you believe that this may have been intentional? And that's ultimately the question that is percolating on Capitol Hill. Did someone within the Secret Service allow this to happen? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Coming up, we're going to be going right back to the RNC. Also, Robin Poffman joins us a little bit later on to talk about what happened over the weekend. But I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm just not buying what the government's selling here. And it's not like they're even trying very hard. Now, it seems to me that the media is doing a pretty good job of trying to shove this story out of the news cycle. And they may very well get away with it, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I want to go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Evelyn in Georgia. Hi, Evelyn. What's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. I'm glad to talk with you. I think this thing was intentional all along. Anybody who's in charge of security at an event like this would have put somebody on top of that building. I don't care how slanted it was. You know, I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. And it's just sickening that they waited 30 minutes to even do anything. They had nothing whatsoever planned other than to do what happened.
So, Evelyn, you think somebody intentionally tried to either take Trump out or allow it to happen?
Yes. Yes. This woman that's in charge absolutely must be... she's incompetent for sure.
Well, she's a diversity hire. I mean, her previous job was heading up PepsiCo. She was over at PepsiCo for, and she was in charge. So if somebody stole a bag of Cheetos or whatever, she would be dispatched to, you know, investigate. How somebody like that becomes president of or in charge of the Secret Service, well, she's a diversity hire. By the way, and Evelyn, thank you for your call. By the way, last night, I don't know if you saw this, last night at the RNC, President Trump's Secret Service detail, all very tall, athletic men. There were no short, fat girls. No, there were no short, fat girls in the bunch. No Melissa McCarthy's, no Rosie O'Donnell's. These were all very tall men that were very muscular. It's sort of like night and day difference. But I'm telling you, when you've got people like Congressman Corey Mills, who is a sniper, a trained sniper, and he's out there saying, hey, look, we've got to investigate this, and we have to investigate whether or not somebody wanted Donald Trump dead within the Secret Service, within the government. Look, it's a horrible thing to even think about. It's a horrible thing to even say. But the reality is, when you look at what happened, I mean, there's no way, no way that that guy should have been able to get off a shot. No way he should not have been taken out long before the rally. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. It's just really unfortunate. Want to go to some audio here. This is, I'm hoping we have time. We're not going to have time to play this, but we'll get to this after the break. Let's go to RB in Tennessee. RB, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. What's going on with the Southern Baptist Convention, the Republican platform? If you will recall, if you listen, at the World Economic Forum this year, Klaus Schwab said, our goal is to infiltrate every organization and something else he called them worldwide. And he said that we have done it. And, you know, the Baptist Convention has been trying to get rid of the, what do they call it, Integrity Committee, and they can't get it voted out. So I can't help but to think that the World Economic Forum bunch, you know, of course, you can see who goes every year.
So I'm not understanding here. What does that have to do with the Republican National Convention?
Well, they've got, people in there that are pushing for this stuff.
And they're pushing for what?
Well, the gay marriage thing, the LGBT, and the abortion stuff. They don't seem to care what we think.
Well, they are doing the math here, and they're saying that Christians, they talk the big game, but they don't go out and vote. And if the LGBT folks not only talk the game, but they do get out and vote, if you're a Republican leader, you're going with the LGBT crowd. I mean, it really is that simple. We got to get out the Christian vote, RB. Hey, got to run. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Want to play some audio for you. This is Scott Jennings over at CNN. He's the conservative over there, and he is going after Joe Biden. Now, before we play that, here is Joe Biden, and in this interview with Lester Holt from NBC, very upset. Cut number one.
Lester, look, why don't you guys ever talk about the 28 lies he told? Where are you on this? Why didn't the press ever talk about that? 28 times it's confirmed he lied in that debate. Seriously, you won't answer the question, but why didn't the press talk about all the lies he told?
Well,
I haven't read anything about that.
We have reported many of the issues that came up during that debate.
No, you haven't. Well, if you go back and listen to the things J.D. Vance said about Trump.
Well, he said some things about you, yeah.
Oh, no, well, he said something about me, but see what he said about Trump. What's with you guys? Come on, man.
Well, there you go. Come on, man. He got really irritated. Now, Biden goes on to talk about how and he starts rattling off all the lies about Donald Trump. And Scott Jennings on CNN fired back. Cut 26.
From that interview, Scott Jennings, you're shaking your head.
This man's opponent just got his ear shot off. Okay. And his instinct was to try to do some wordplay with the crosshairs bullseye thing and then turned right around and uttered the lie about the dictator, which is a complete and total lie, and the lie about the bloodbath, which is a complete and total lie. I find this to be pathetic and small and partisan. I need the president to have an ounce of humility and introspection here. He is our leader. He's our leader, and he needs to simply say, I want to lower the temperature. I'll take responsibility for my part. We should all do that together. And he cannot do it. Well, he can't do it.
I understand how upset
without
you are, but
using language that incites people. And I think if we don't, and I think if we can't have an honest conversation about that for the next 3.5 months, then we're going to wake up in November in a country we don't recognize.
I'll tell you one way we can have an honest conversation about it. By having an honest conversation about it, because the bloodbath, the dictator, so much of what the Biden campaign says about Donald Trump is just not true.
Those are all things he said.
These are cheap fakes. It's not real.
And it's not real. And hang tight. We're going to get to your calls in a moment. Hang tight here. So the whole thing about the bloodbath, Trump said there's going to be a bloodbath if he loses. Yeah, within the context, he was talking about a bloodbath within the auto industry regarding China. Cut number 27. Here's what Trump actually said.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
All right, so there's the context. And the whole thing about a dictator, he was cracking a joke. I'll be a dictator on day one and day only. Day one only. That's what he said. And it was meant to be a joke. So Scott Jennings is right. But notice the tone and tenor from Joe Biden just day before yesterday. We all just need to get along and just hug each other. And then he's like, come on, man. Have you noticed that Biden really gets irritated, especially when he's being interviewed by a minority journalist? Have you noticed that? Remember the crack? Well, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. Was that Charlemagne the God, I believe? All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Dan in North Carolina. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind?
I've got a question I haven't heard anybody ask as of yet. We had the shooting. Should that have gone really bad and he had not survived? And then now we have the convention. How would we pick a Republican nominee?
Well, now that is a great question. The delegates at that point would have to get together and they would have to make that decision. So I'm assuming at that point, because you would not have had a vice presidential nominee at that point, so the delegates would have had to have decided that.
Right. And I know Nikki Haley had already relinquished her delegates over to Donald Trump. So it's not like she would have had some, you know.
They would have had to have picked somebody else.
Right. Okay. Well, I was just curious about that. I hadn't heard anybody ask that question.
Yeah, good question. Dan, thank you. Guy, North Carolina, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. You had a guy on there yesterday that was talking about, there are going to be more questions than answers. But I got a question. I got another question. Since they didn't put anybody on the roof that the shooter got on because of it was a hazard, how did the shooter know to get on it?
You see, this is a great question, and there is a lot of speculation as to how the shooter actually got up on the roof. Now, Guy, what we do know, and this is from the reporting from ABC News, as well as a television station out of Pittsburgh, that the building itself was being used as a staging area for law enforcement. So you literally had law enforcement in that building while this guy was climbing up, and their theory is he was using the air conditioning ducts to climb up onto the roof. So clearly, it just seems to me that this guy, one of two things happened. This guy planned this thing meticulously and scoped out the area, did his intel, or it was an inside job, and he was allowed to get up onto that roof.
Yeah, it was. Well, what's to bother me, how did he know to get on that particular roof? Like, there wasn't nobody on that roof.
It's a great question. And again, the reason why, so the Secret Service knew, and in the interview, the Secret Service director told ABC News, we knew that that roof was a security issue, but we didn't want to have anybody up there because it was a sloped roof. It was not that sloped. It's not like, you know, you're going to have to hang off the side of a roof. That makes no sense to me, Guy.
Yeah, it sounds fishy to me, too. Well, thank you, man.
All right. Appreciate the call. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. German Shepherd, what's on your mind today?
Todd, I'm glad you're doing well today. I just wanted to recall my thoughts of the past couple of years of Donald Trump. And what comes to my mind is the closing words of the Declaration of Independence. And it says, "And for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on a protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor." And Donald Trump has been under such attack that he's fulfilled this particular declaration. And I'm just glad that he's still going strong and God's got his hand on him. I've seen that over and over again. And I'm just amazed at how he keeps coming out of all these attacks and is still going and hasn't been discouraged.
No, he hasn't. And look, after the shooting, he could have said, you know what, that's it. I'm done here, people. But he didn't. He put that fist in the air and said, fight, fight, fight. And I thought it was beautiful last night, you know, the crowd chanting. And I know that triggered the folks over at CNN. But the reality is that this man really does love America. And he really believes every single thing that he says about this country. And he does want to make America great again. And that triggers a lot of people. But God love him. What an amazing man Donald J. Trump is.
Yes, sir. I agree.
All right. German Shepherd, thank you for that. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Read this to you. One of the kindest things, a gentleman dropped by yesterday, and I wish I would have had a chance to say hello. We're going to try to make that happen. His name is Clark Chapman and family. And Mr. Chapman is, he's got a farm, and they live in a beautiful place called Rosemark, Tennessee. So the guy drove forever. That's a pretty big haul. It's a small community between Millington and Arlington. And he said, "Our family has been in Rosemark, Tennessee for a span of 100 years. We are loyal listeners of your show, and we feel that you do a great service in informing conservative listeners of the key issues that plague our country. My family all support former President Donald Trump, and it is sickening that someone just tried to take his life. Last week, I recalled you mentioned how much you like homegrown tomatoes." Oh, I do. I love them. "So I brought you some tomatoes from our garden and hope you enjoy a good tomato sandwich. Thank you again for what you and your staff are doing, and please keep up the good work. Again, Clark Chapman." Well, Clark, thank you so much for that, and what a very kind thing. And I hope to be able to meet you in person. We have some of the kindest and most generous listeners out there. And well, I certainly do appreciate the tomatoes. There are a lot of tomatoes. Dylan, I'm curious. Are you a tomato fan?
Does ketchup count?
No, ketchup? Well, sort of, yes.
Just with a buttload of sugar?
A buttload of sugar.
I guess I would say I'm a tomato fan. Just the texture top.
Sugar on tomatoes?
That's ketchup.
Allegedly. I don't know.
I could get into it.
Anyway, I'm excited about this. Heading over and either getting some Sunbeam or Bunny Bread. And I'll be having a delicious tomato sandwich later tonight. It's going to be great. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. William in North Carolina. Hi, William. What's on your mind?
Gotta love that Southern hospitality. Ain't nothing like a good hot mater sandwich. Woo! On a Southern afternoon.
Come on now. Come
on. Anyway, that lady that spoke on the news last night with Pierre, I can't remember his last name, works for ABC reporter. He asked the question, asked the hard question to her, and she said the buck stops with her. All I got to say about that is that young lady needs to step down, at least take a suspension right now until they can figure all this out. And Joe Biden, being that he is the active president right now, he needs to do the firing or the suspending. And that would be, in my opinion, a way to get at Donald Trump saying that I'm sorry of what happened to you on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, something.
Now, that's just the way I'm looking at it. And, you know, it's just, you know, us good old boys down here in the South, we just call it like it is.
No, William, you're right. And again, you don't want to think that, but with the way things have been going and the way that the deep state has taken over the government, you have to ask those questions now, because none of this makes any sense. I mean, when you look at how all of this went down and the fact that not only did a police officer spot this guy 30 minutes before the shooting happened, you had all these other people in the crowd doing the same thing. So I need somebody to explain to me, how is it that the Secret Service ignored the state police, they ignored the local police, and they ignored all the people in the crowd? How did that happen?
Well, you know, it's like a lot of callers have been calling, Todd, yesterday and today, too, that, you know, there's a lot of answers that are not going to be, or questions that are not going to be answered. Some of them probably will. I hope that we do find out some. I pray and hope that it's not it was not a fixed job. I mean, I just hope that, but if it is, then it just goes to show you how corrupt the government is. And we all know that it is, but I'm hoping and praying that that's not the case. I'm hoping it's just a bad, bad mistake on the Secret Service's behalf.
Very concerned about the diversity hires. Very concerned. And we've got to put a stop to that.
Yes, sir. All right. Take care.
William, God bless. Thank you. All right. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is from yesterday, the CNN panel. Van Jones, very upset over J.D. Vance and the pick of J.D. Vance, cut number 9.
You know, part of the reason that J.D. Vance matters isn't for these kind of short-term electoral calculations. He matters because of what he means to the Republican Party long-term. This is cementing a kind of nationalism.
Yeah.
Now, Trump, to your point, I agree with you. He's an instinctive, impulsive, intuitive nationalist. J.D. Vance is an ideological nationalist. That's a much more dangerous virus, because he can make this, he can polish this stuff and make it seem palatable to people. He can sell this stuff to Silicon Valley. He can sell this stuff other places. And what it does is it locks the Republican Party on a pathway that I think is dangerous for the world. Again, the Ukrainians are now in deep trouble. NATO is now in deep trouble. Trump is, he could have gone with a Nikki Haley and signaled to the world, hey, listen, I got to give stuff to my base, but I'm not going to abandon the world. This pick is a horror on the world stage. So J.D. Vance matters because Donald Trump is pointing the Republican Party in a very scary direction for the long term.
All right. So there you go. Van Jones. It's interesting because 24 hours before that, Van Jones was all, oh, we've got to get along. We've got to tone down the rhetoric. Man, the rhetoric just got jacked back up yesterday. Come on. Here's what I love about J.D. Vance, and this is going to be a wait and see for me. Look, if President Trump likes the guy, then I like him too. But it wasn't that long ago that, you know, J.D. Vance was literally calling Donald Trump Adolf Hitler. So I'm a little, I'm a wait and see kind of a guy. But here's what I do like about J.D. Vance. All of the people that hate J.D. Vance on Capitol Hill are very bad people. So I'm glad the right people hate him. And that's why I like J.D. Vance. All right. Got to tell you about Newsmax. If you've been watching our coverage, by the way, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, we'll be doing a big preview of tonight's gathering. It starts at 6 o'clock, and you can watch it all on Newsmax. A new Reuters study says Newsmax is one of the top brands in America. Millions of Americans are literally turning off old media, and they're tuning into Newsmax. Just saw the ratings, and they're just through the roof. Newsmax has just announced plans. It's going to go public later this year, and you have a chance to become an owner of Newsmax by purchasing preferred shares pre-IPO. You can get all the information at NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. You can go online and read Newsmax's memorandum. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. So, again, go to NewsmaxInvest.com to see if you are eligible to buy some preferred shares. It's a pretty great opportunity. And again, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch our continuing coverage of the RNC. We'll have a full slate of guests talking about that. In the meantime, folks, head over to ToddStearns.com. We've got some great resources for you there, videos, stories. You can download our podcast, which is awesome, and we've got a great newsletter, and we have a company store, so it's kind of one-stop shopping. All right, hang tight. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Were you watching live when this happened? Did you see that unfold live, or did somebody call you and say, go turn on the television?
No, I saw live. I was there with Laura. I was there with my children. And, you know, I clearly understand the sound of a bullet. And, you know, I heard the shots and my eyes went right up to the TV and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And you instantly see blood. You instantly see somebody on the ground. You don't know if they were hit multiple times. And you're just praying to God that they stand up. And when he got up and when he, you know, started pumping his fist in the air saying, fight, 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 even though he had blood all over his face. At least we knew he was mobile at that point, and that gave you a little bit of hope that he was going to be okay. But those are not fun moments. Those are not fun moments. This cannot happen in this country. I mean, we're the best country on earth. This cannot happen in any way, shape, or form. And it gives a whole different perspective to life and frankly, the whole, you know, political narrative among the media and among people and among politics. It's got to get toned down.
All right, that was Eric Trump last night at the RNC in Milwaukee describing the moment when he saw his father shot in the head on live national television. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, national correspondent Robin Poffman joins us. And Robin, this had been a great fear of yours. You have mentioned that numerous times in the past on this radio show.
I have, because I don't think we have a real Department of Homeland Security under Joe Biden. I think that we have people in the Secret Service that don't belong there. We have people in the TSA at the airport, the Transportation Safety Administration that are about a step up from the McDonald's worker that asks you if you want to supersize it. Not all of them, but many of these TSA agents working at the airports, you and I both go through airports on a regular basis every month, and some of them do not know why the agency was even created in the first place. They don't know what they're doing there. They don't know the mission that, you know, that it's an anti-terrorism agency, and that has all gotten lost, and that pertains directly to the comments of Eric Trump. And it's a sin. I mean, Donald Trump could have been taken out by the grace of God. He is still with us. I was very moved by last night seeing how emotional he looked. You can tell that he's had the wind knocked out of him, that he has seen the other side and come back, so to speak. And he was, you know, a millisecond away from death, and it's right on his face. You can read the body language very clear. But I am not only concerned for the current president's safety, Donald Trump's safety, everyone in the U.S. Senate, judges, Congress, folks like Steve Scalise, who were just out, the Louisiana senator who was the majority whip at the time, who had security on that ball field, practicing for the congressional game they do every year for charity. I'm concerned for every citizen in this country because I don't think any of us are safe, and that the Department of Homeland Security under Mayorkas is bogus. We are not focused on the mission of securing our nation and our people.
Let me jump in here. I am just really beyond stunned here by the revelations coming out of the Secret Service, the Secret Service director willingly admitting to ABC News, oh, yeah, we knew there was a security threat on that roof, but we didn't want to put agents up there because the roof was sloped and, you know, it might be dangerous. We now know that at least 30 minutes before the shooting, that a police officer notified state police. State police notified Secret Service that there was a strange person on that roof. How did they, not just how did they let this happen, how did they let Trump even walk onto that stage on Saturday?
I was thinking the same thing, Todd. I mean, she, can I just say this? She's a moron. She is a M-O-R-O-N, an absolute moron who has no business being in charge of the Secret Service, just like Mayorkas has no business being in charge of Homeland Security. What is going on in our country? Do you feel safe? Because I'm telling you, I don't.
You know, it's interesting, Robin, and we pointed this out in the last hour. You didn't have Melissa McCarthy and Rosie O'Donnell there last night guarding Trump. You had very tall, very athletic, well-built men surrounding Donald Trump when he walked into that room last night.
It was the first thing I noticed. Besides Donald Trump's face and how he looked and the emotion in his eyes and the square white gauze bandage attached to his ear, the other thing I noticed in real time was, oh, okay, we finally have some 6'5", big and beefy men guarding this guy in a wall formation. For your listeners that may not have actually seen it, they were in, you know what that is, Todd, the wall formation, yeah, where they're standing these men side to side, and he's walking, they're forming a wall in that alley there, and he's walking through it, and he's got the Secret Service behind him, he's got the Secret Service in front of him, and I just don't think that things are going to be safe until this man gets reelected.
I remember when I was on the campaign, back when I was a reporter at Fox covering Obama, and we were on that campaign, and I traveled everywhere, and you get to know the Secret Service guys, and it's interesting. It's just the mindset of a Secret Service guy. You could be talking about the game last night, and in a split second, sit down, don't move. You're like, whoa, what just happened? You know, it's that mindset. Now, I didn't see that happening Saturday, right? I didn't see that immediate, you know, shift or response, except for the guys who did what they were supposed to do, jumping on the president. And you do wonder if diversity hires have made our elected leaders less safe.
Listen, I'm a woman and I'm all about women being promoted to, you know, high jobs. But I'm 5'5", Todd, and I should not be guarding anyone who's taller than 5'5", okay? Maybe I should be guarding Pete Buttigieg, who's a small, petite, and thin, you know, a short man. But I'm telling you, you've got square, what is it, square pegs and round holes, and you have people that are not in the right position, and the safety is an enormous issue. Which leads me to the next topic that you and I have talked about off air, which is a terrorist attack. Do you honestly believe that our federal agencies, I'm not talking about your local policemen where you live, because those guys are trained, but do you honestly believe that our federal agencies are in play to protect American citizens? I think we're woefully underprepared.
Yeah, I would sincerely agree with you there. Robin, real quick, before we get to J.D. Vance, I do want to ask you about some news breaking on Capitol Hill. You've got Jim Banks now calling for a select committee to investigate. He says he doesn't trust the FBI to investigate what happened on Saturday. Corey Mills nearly imploded CNN last night. He's a military sniper, now congressman, and Congressman Mills says we need to investigate whether or not this may have been intentional, that someone may have allowed the president to get shot. As horrifying as that is, do you think we ought to go down that path and investigate?
100%, because it wouldn't be the first time. How about the JFK assassination? And then, you know, the shooter was shot in a whole conspiracy, right? So this would not be the first time that things were maybe perhaps allowed to happen. Why in the world was JFK back in the day in a motorcade without a roof on it, without the roof down? Whose brilliant decision was that? And don't think that that's not in some of the papers that have not been released all these years later from the 60s, from the JFK assassination. And I'm sure there's things we don't know about in pertaining to the Reagan shooting back in the day in the early 80s. when you and I probably were first starting high school, if my timing is correct. But I will tell you that there is something about this, the Robin gut, it doesn't feel right. There's something amiss here, and I'm with Corey Mills. We need to get to the bottom of it. This Secret Service lady, she is on the record. They asked her for more security for Donald Trump, that he shouldn't be protected like, you know, like a regular president, like a Jimmy Carter, like a Barack Obama, where the threat level was a lot less. I mean, the Iranians want to get him because he zapped Soleimani, right? So this is at a whole different level. And there was not enough protection. And I honestly think they're like, oh, yeah, we're just going out to little town USA to the farm, out to Butler, PA. Nothing's going to happen there. Well, how wrong were they?
Robin Poffman on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Now, Robin, J.D. Vance picked yesterday, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Was that a good choice?
Love the man. I think there were a lot of good picks in the mix. I thought that he may have gone off script Trump and picked someone else, like, I don't know, like a Pompeo or Sarah Huckabee Sanders. But I think that you know me, Todd, for many, many years, I like a good life story. And I think his rags to riches life story of being in a home with abuse and not having food on the table and grandma negotiating with Meals on Wheels to get this man who was so poor as a little boy extra food and going to college and then finding his way to law school and meeting his wife and getting married and going to the Senate and having children. He's got an amazing life story, and he has gone from being a never Trumper to a total Trumper, and that sells in America. That's the American the greatness of our country, that you can go from 0 to 100. And I think it's going to be brilliant. And I do think that the two Trump boys, Don Jr. and Eric, had a big say in this. There is a lot of word that Doug Burgum was the guy from Nebraska, the governor. And then the boys said to their dad, nope, you got to go with J.D. Vance. And I think that Trump very heavily relies on all of his children for input.
Yeah, I saw that reporting, and the sons were like, what, are you stupid? And it's funny that they could talk to their dad like that, but, you know, I guess they can. But they really did push, and, of course, it was our understanding that Rupert Murdoch, you know, our old boss, was really pushing for Burgum, as was Karl Rove, and I think that was the death nail.
Yeah, because, you know, those are establishment Republican types. Those are what we call rhinos, Republicans in name only. And the MAGA movement is to the right of all of those people. I'm not a Nikki Haley fan, but I will be watching the speech to see what she talks about tonight. And I do want to bring up, I don't know how close you are to a TV in this moment, but speaking of things going on in Washington, Gold Bar Bob from my home state of New Jersey,
boom,
found guilty on all counts.
And that's
Gold Bar Bob, Baba Booey Menendez.
That's right. He is guilty. And Chuck Schumer now calling for Bob to step aside. To resign. So we'll see how all of this goes.
Oh, I've known him since I was a kid. Good luck on that, by the way. Good luck.
By the way, before we let me put a pin in J.D. Vance, and then I've got some breaking news to share with you, Robin. Here's my take on J.D., and we're going to go do more of a deep dive tomorrow. But one of the things that's amazing about him, he has one of the most male staffs in all of the Senate. And most of his guys are guys, and I think the story is there's more nicotine usage on that staff than any other staff. And I think it goes back to this idea of J.D. Vance is a man's man. And, of course, he pushed back. If you remember the infamous interview where he said basically the country was being run by a bunch of unmarried cat, you know, women who own cats.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know plenty of them, huh?
Childless cat women.
My favorite kind of person, not. I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah.
I think that if my husband was a congressman or a senator, I'd want him to have an all-male staff in light of some of the antics that you and I both know that go on in Washington, D.C., so I get it. I also like his religious component. I would add this, that I saw an interview with his wife, and she was saying how, you know, she's whatever religion she is.
She's Hindu.
Okay. And then she knew that he was, you know, born Catholic, and kind of said to him, hey, why don't you go back to your Catholicism, to your roots, to your foundation. He gets back into it. He gets baptized 4 years ago. Now he's, you know, a practicing Catholic. I think all of that is good. I think I love that, that she encouraged him to be what he is and not to convert to something else. And I think that that is excellent. That religious faith will ground him. And I think we're all born into what we believe, you know, in our families and our faith. And I think that's going to be an excellent fit for Donald Trump. The other thing, the lastly, Todd, that I would tell you is the age. You definitely see the age difference. Vance will be 40 in a week or two, and Trump is 70, just turned 78. And the elder statesman thing, he's going to let Vance be the pit bull.
All right. This exclusive breaking news coming out of CNN. The U.S. has obtained intel in recent weeks on a plot by Iran to try to assassinate Donald Trump. They're saying that development led to the Secret Service increasing his security before Saturday's shooting. But, Robin, this makes no sense because we know that it looked like there was a substitute group of agents working with Trump at that event.
I'm telling you, this stinks.
It's far from over.
Something is amiss, Todd.
Yeah. All right, Robin, we've got to go. Always appreciate your great work and insight. Thanks, Robin.
Have a great day.
All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, so again, the breaking news coming out of CNN. The U.S. obtained intelligence in recent weeks on a plot by Iran to try and assassinate President Trump. Now, we've got the story up on our website, toddstearns.com. Go check that out. When you're in that story, scroll down. You're going to see a tweet that we embedded from Sean Parnell, who was on the front row of the rally. And it's fascinating. The photograph that was taken shows President Trump speaking, and the photograph is taken from the back of Trump. There's the crowd, and right there in the distance, we're talking about 150 yards away, is the rooftop. You can actually, if you look closely, it appears like you can see the gunman on the roof. So even President Trump, from his vantage point, would have been able to have seen the rooftop, the pitch of the roof. Just unbelievable. And clearly, with all of this new intel coming out, which apparently they have known for weeks now, at least several weeks, why is it that the president's regular Secret Service rotation and detail was not there? Why is it when they were told, and this is somebody has to answer this question, the Secret Service was told there was a suspicious guy on the roof, why did they not go up there to investigate? More importantly, why did they not keep Trump off that stage until they could figure out what was going on? Those are questions that have to be answered, ladies and gentlemen. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls. Also, checking in with the RNC big event tonight. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Laura Trump, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, rather, and also Nikki Haley. It's going to be an all-star lineup. All right, you'll be able to watch all of it on Newsmax, too. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Coming up a little bit later on tonight, the RNC kicks off again, 6 o'clock Eastern. You'll be able to watch all of the coverage on Newsmax. And I thought, Newsmax really did a terrific job. And let me just say, I was bouncing around from CNN, MSDNC, Fox, and Newsmax. Newsmax actually carried the speeches, which is what I really appreciated. So anyway, tonight you've got some big names coming out. I'll be giving you a preview tonight on my Newsmax program, 5 o'clock Eastern. So I'll be leading you up to, the RNC, event this evening. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tommy, Pigott joins us from the RNC. Tommy, how are people doing? What's the mood there in Milwaukee?
Well, I think the mood is one of gratefulness, first of all, that President Trump is able to be here. It's one of prayer to say that we're praying for those that were injured at the rally in that heinous attack, that assassination attempt. We're praying for the family of the man who was killed. And I think it's about motivation of love of country. We're motivated by our love of our country to make sure that we turn this country around, that we have that uniting agenda to make America great again. Last night was such an example of that, seeing President Trump come on stage in his first appearance on stage since the assassination attempt, to listen to those speakers, many of which were former Democrats, many of which are new to the Republican Party, but made such a compelling case of why President Trump is needed back in the White House.
Well, no doubt about that. And I think it was just incredibly moving. I think even Gayle King said she was really moved when President Trump came out. The sustained applause. And I don't know if you saw this, Tommy, but there were a lot of speakers there last night, but a good chunk of that audience, they had literally turned and they were just watching Trump. You know, that's because, again, he was the star last night. And I think they really wanted to see the president, and he delivered.
He did indeed. And I think it's a continuation of what we saw from the very moments after that assassination attempt, in terms of President Trump is leading us out of this moment. He's leading us to our better days ahead of us. He was asked, why did he stand up and why did he give that fist bump after the assassination attempt? And he said it was to signal, first of all, that he was okay, and second, to signal that America is strong and America is moving forward. And that is the character of Trump. That is the character President Trump has shown. I don't think there's anyone really, or very few in the history of the world, that their first thought would be for the American people after something like that happened. And President Trump has shown time and time again, through his post on Truth Social, through last night, through his response to the assassination attempt, even through his entire political career and before, that he is motivated by love of this country and love of the American people.
Tommy, I'm curious. I know there's been a lot of talk about the party platform. And yesterday, the Log Cabin Republicans posted a pretty long and lengthy statement, and they're just really heaping praise on you guys for the changes that were made. And you had Charles Moran, who is the leader of the Log Cabin Republicans, which we believe is the largest gathering of LGBT Republicans. And he said that you guys, what your decision did was build a more inclusive GOP and update the platform's outdated and out-of-step language opposing marriage equality, an issue that the vast majority of the country and a majority of Republican voters support. Your reaction to, I mean, you guys are getting heaps of praise from the Log Cabin Republicans.
Well, I think, first of all, our priority is to take our cues from the president. And what we're focused on is delivering on the promises that President Trump made. That's where our focus is. And those promises that President Trump made include sealing the border and securing the border, include making our cities safer and rebuilding our cities, include putting parents first and making sure that parents are in charge of their families, making sure that we have economic prosperity. It's those 20 promises, those 20 core promises that President Trump has made that comprise the heart of our platform. And it's those promises that will be delivered upon when President Trump is elected president, J.D. Vance is elected vice president, we win back the Senate and expand our majority in the House.
Mm. Do you have concerns that conservative evangelicals may not vote on Election Day? What are you guys doing to bring them back into the fold?
President Trump has made clear that freedom of religion is incredibly important. And he's made clear that one of the things that we're guided by is by prayer. That's one of the main takeaways from his response to the assassination attempt.
Come on now. I mean, we're talking about the party platform, and you know that it has caused major. I mean, if you go on social media right now, pastors around the country are really concerned. And so my question is, I think it's a pretty fair question. How is the party going to make sure that evangelicals get out and vote on Election Day?
Well, we have a major initiative to reach out to evangelicals in terms of organizing. We have a major initiative to reach out to evangelicals in terms of motivating that in terms of our turnout game. We're also motivated by many of the policies in the platform. For example, keeping men out of women's sports, making sure that parents have a say in their children's education, making sure that we're not banning God from the public square, which is what the left wants to do, making sure that we're actually having freedom of religion, where we're not having the DOJ going into churches, we're not having the DOJ target religious Americans, pro-life Americans. We're making sure we have equal justice under law, making sure that we have a government that's not targeting religious Americans, and making sure that we honor the tradition of religion in this country that has really been the bedrock and the foundation of this country. The contrast between President Trump and the agenda we have seen from Democrats could not be more stark, and there are so many different elements which that is reflected in, whether that is through freedom of religion, whether that is through the DOJ targeting religious institutions, whether that's through the extremism of Democrats when it comes to the abortion issue. There are so many ways that the Republican Party is delivering on its promises to evangelicals, and so is President Trump. We're going to take our cues from President Trump, but we're going to keep on making that case, keep on reaching out to voters across the spectrum, saying that we need to unite this country, come together, and make America great again.
All right, a lot of talking points there, Tommy. Let's talk about the speakers tonight. Of course, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley. We understand that her message is going to be about unifying the party.
Well, and that's part of President Trump's message as well. I think President Trump has shown that he is guided by that principle of unity. He's reaching out to Republicans across the spectrum to make sure that we're a unified party, and the Republican Party has never been more unified. And I think what we're seeing from Americans that aren't traditionally Republicans as well is about uniting this country behind that Make America Great Again agenda. That's one of the things we saw yesterday with former Democrats that have been invited on stage. The first time that we actually saw a union leader on stage accompanied by union members, everyday Americans who are endorsing President Trump. And several people on that stage voted for Joe Biden in 2020 and are now voting for President Trump because they regret their vote. That's the type of President Trump will be. That's the type of President Trump was, a president that brings people together, a president with a unifying message, and a president that delivers on his promises.
All right, Tommy, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you coming on the program.
All right, thanks for having me on.
What the heck was that, folks? In all seriousness, come on. Really? You're going to come onto this program on over 160 radio stations, thousands of people listening on social media, and you're literally just going to speed read through talking points? Come, are any folks, this is the problem. And this is what I talk about when I say we don't work off talking points here. Now, I will say this, they're going to the GOP is going to mess around with this, and if they're not careful, they're going to alienate a lot of voters unnecessarily. I do believe it's intentional. They want to be a cool party, right? And we've heard that, which is why they invited Amber Rose. Well, we got to reach the young people, Todd, which is why we got to have the founder of Slutwalk on, because that's what the young people love. Really? Okay. Well, all right. But what I'm saying here is that may be the case, but are you going to be bringing enough of those voters in to replace all the Christians and evangelicals and pro-lifers that may not vote on Election Day? Because you keep treating people like this, and it's going to be a problem. We're trying to help the RNC, but I don't think they want help or they need help. But based on that conversation, they need all the help they can get. All right, 901-260-5926. Man, let's go to Donna in Georgia. Hi, Donna.
Hello, how are you?
All right, Donna, I'm a little frustrated after that interview. A little frustrated.
Well, I have one platform, and that's the Holy Bible. And that's where my faith comes from. That's where my direction in everyday life comes from. You're never going to please all of the people all of the time. I do believe that Christ was inclusive as far as Amber Rose. I can mention Mary Magdalene. No, I don't like that they took out that, but as far as getting out and voting, you got to look at which party's better. And, I mean, Biden had a transgender vestite, whatever you call it these days, lift up his shirt and show his plastic boobs right on the White House lawn during Easter. So,
I remember that.
Yeah. And as far as Trump, last night it moved me when he came in because you could tell that he had tears in his eyes.
It was powerful.
And the humility and the love, and it caused me to cry. But not only does Trump love America, he loves Americans, the people. And I really think that part of his tears were for the gentleman that was killed at his rally, because I think that affected him quite a bit. I hear that there's a possibility he'll go to his funeral. That's Trump. You wouldn't catch Biden doing that, but you will catch Trump doing that because he cares about people. He is compassionate. What Melania wrote in that most beautiful letter to Americans is exactly how I see Trump. He's a father first. He's a husband first. And then he's the president of the United States.
All right.
He loves Americans.
Donna, we got to leave it there. Appreciate you calling in. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, again, the breaking news here coming out from CNN. The Secret Service ramped up security after getting intel of an Iranian plot to assassinate Trump. There's no known connection to whether or not that's what happened on Saturday. But again, this 20-year-old kid apparently was very well versed in computers and in tech, and yet the government's telling us he's got no digital footprint at all. Does that make any sense to you? Any sense at all? So, again, according to CNN here, reading their exclusive, it's not clear whether the specifics of the Iran threat were shared with the Trump campaign. They said, quote, "We do not comment on President Trump's security detail. All questions should be directed to the U.S. Secret Service." And you heard Robin Pompen explaining this, that one of the reasons why Trump has such a large Secret Service detail in the first place is because Iran has been trying to take out Trump. Secret Service officials warned the Trump campaign repeatedly against holding outdoor rallies, which pose greater risks than events to which the agency can better control. At one point during the election cycle, the campaign stopped holding spontaneous off-the-record events where guests were not swept by Secret Service beforehand. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think that is a good idea? Do you think that they ought to move the rallies into arenas as opposed to holding these big outdoor events? Do you think that's the better play here? Because, again, if the Secret Service can't protect the man outside, I don't know about that. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is J.D. Vance talking about what Trump told him. Cut number 10.
When the president called me today to actually formally offer me to become, you know, the vice presidential nominee, which just sounds crazy, my 7-year-old son was sort of making noise in the background. You know, I'm getting so embarrassed. But then he actually has me put my 7-year-old son on the phone. You think about this. Everything that's happened, the guy just got shot at a couple of days ago, and he takes the time to talk to my 7-year-old. It's a moment I'll never forget.
All right. And what did he actually say?
You know, he just said, look, I think we've got to go save this country. I think you're the guy who can help me in the best way. You can help me govern. You can help me win. You can help me in some of these Midwestern states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and so forth. And he said, rightfully, that we have been very, very close for a long time, but especially since I endorsed you in 2022. And I would not have won that race without Donald Trump's endorsement. And the president's trust then and his partnership since then has been something I value a great deal.
All right, there you go. Don Jr. last night committed murder on national television. He was interviewed by an MSDNC reporter. This was really funny. Cut number 25.
What is that change going to look like, Don? What practically, your father as president, I think you would even say, was a divisive figure. What's it going to look like in the second term?
I don't think he was a divisive figure at all. I think the media created divisiveness around him. They lied about Russia, Russia collusion. They said he was a traitor. They went after him in every which way as possible. If the media actually starts being an honest broker, talking about the things that he did, the prosperity he brought, the peace deals that he signed around the world, rather than the disaster that we're living right now, I think you'd do everyone in the country a big favor.
I know immigration's important to him. I covered the family separation crisis closely. Will we continue to see policies like separating 5,000 children deliberately from their parents?
You mean the Obama administration?
You know they didn't do that, sir.
Okay. Sure.
Will there be a second family separation policy?
It's MSDNC, so I expect nothing less from you clowns. Even today, even 48 hours later, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait with your lies and with your nonsense. So just get out of here.
Good for you, Todd Jr. And by the way, that's true. The MSDNC reporter was incorrect. He was ignorant. And it was true that Obama originally put the children in cages, literal cages. By the way, did you watch the Major League Baseball last night? There's a big controversy surrounding the national anthem that was performed. Ingrid, is it Andress or Andreas? Anyway, she's a country music artist. And I was going to ask the guys to pull the audio, but nobody needs to hear this. It's probably the worst rendition of the national anthem I've ever heard. And honest to goodness, it sounded like she was trying to pass a kidney stone in the middle of the national anthem. I mean, that's what it sounded like. So everybody was really talking about it. The poor baseball players were struggling not to laugh. You know, they're standing there at attention, but you could tell they were holding it in. That's never a good thing. And so anyway, it turns out now she has posted a message because she has been roundly attacked. It's been brutal. And she's won a country music star, right? Allegedly. So she said, she just posted a message. I'm not going to BS you folks. I was drunk last night. How are you drunk singing the national anthem? I know it's a hard song for singers to sing, but you know, does it drive you to drink? So anyway, she says, I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility to get help today. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it super fun. XO Ingrid. Well, look, I mean, I'm glad she's getting help, right? So the question is, after she gets out of rehab, is she going to like do a do-over? Is there going to be a do-over? I'm not sure we want a do-over. I mean, she's apparently an award-winning songwriter, singer-songwriter. There you go. All right, Ingrid, good luck to you. All right, folks, been a lot of fun. 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Be sure to watch. In the meantime, I will see you tomorrow on the radio. You be good, America.